If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 36. Luke, chapter 6 and verse 36. Be reading from the New King James. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, the words of our Lord.
There is genuinely no place I would rather be at this moment. I hope it's true for you as well. So thankful to be in the assembly, and I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you here. And we also invite you to join us for our fellowship meal after the sermon. Enjoy some good eating and some good fellowship. Our topic for this morning is our continued theme throughout the year and down to the month, which is making God's choice. And this month, we look at making God's choice to be merciful. And the idea of mercy is so important for us to understand in the Scripture. Because the idea of mercy is alluded to over 380 times in Scripture. Brethren, when God says something once, we ought to pay attention to it. When he says it 380 times plus, we ought to really pay attention to it. In fact, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23 that judgment and faith as well as mercy are the weightier matters of the law. He says these are the more important issues that God has been conveying to you, more than sacrifice, more than burnt offering. The idea of mercy is a weightier matter. And when we investigate mercy, as we see in Scripture, we can gain a better understanding of who God is and of what He expects from us. And before we look at some passages to understand what mercy is, we need to define mercy. And Brother Randy, he already mentioned this in his prayer, which is we often define mercy as not getting what one deserves, especially in relation to punishment. And this is by no means a bad definition. This is a good definition. I want you to hold on to that definition. But I want you to add to it, as we see in Scripture, all that mercy is. So we can see mercy in the Bible as kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. And when we look at other words that the Bible uses, we see words like mercies, which is the plural of mercy. We see words like loving kindness, which is a tender and benevolent affection, but it's still the same word in the Hebrew for mercy. We see other ideas like merciful, to be full of mercy, to be compassionate, having mercy, compassion, and pity, making it yours. And of course, we see compassion related to this, the idea of having pity, to feel sympathy, to be moved in the depths, to be moved in the inward parts of yourself to relieve someone. We see pity, a sympathetic sorrow, and a tender-heartedness. We're discussing how we can make the choice that God has made to show goodwill towards man and relieve them from their affliction. God has made that choice to do so, and we want to make the same choice. Because, brethren, we serve a God who is able to see the condition of man and be moved by it. We see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 6 that when wickedness was upon the face of the earth, upon all men, that's what they were thinking, that it grieved God to his heart when he saw that. Brethren, we not only serve a logical God, but we serve an emotional God as well. We are made in his image. And we want to see how we can properly engage our emotions and our thinking as God would have us to be. And as we connect this to our scripture reading of Luke chapter 6 and verse number 36, this is on the tail end of what Brother Tiberius taught in Bible class on the last Sunday, which is despite what man does, God still shows goodness towards them. And he says, you have to be merciful as your Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. Literally what we see in scripture is God is the perfect standard for mercy. He's the pinnacle of mercy. He's the example of mercy. And in the same note, when we see Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48, they both are at the end of the same dialogue that Jesus is having in Luke chapter 6. And he says, be perfect, be complete. God is the moral standard for us. He's the standard that we live up to. It's God, our Father, which is in heaven. And so because this is the case, what we're going to notice on this morning is, as we have an obligation to be merciful, like the God of heaven is, we're going to look at God's character of mercy, his desire for mercy, and then we will look at man's need for mercy. When we consider God's character of mercy, we will begin in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7 for a moment. We're going to spend a great deal of time working our Bibles this morning, turning in those pages. We're going to be looking at the Old Testament, especially in the minor prophets. They have much to say about the character of God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9, Moses in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible, in the law, he is going to record something for us. He is going to tell us the character of God, the God that we serve. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generations. The Lord God, he is the faithful God. He is the one who keeps covenant. And notice our key word, he keeps mercy. And the Bible doesn't just say this here once. We can go and we can see in the prayer of Nehemiah. We fast forward several hundred years later that Nehemiah, he's praying to God and he mentions the exact same thing. He says, you keep covenant and you keep mercy. We can see Daniel in the midst of the exile of the people. He says, you're the God who keeps covenant and keeps mercy. The Bible goes on to repeat this phrase in a total of 7 times about the character of God. He is the one who keeps mercy. He is the faithful God. We notice even more that the Bible describes the character of God in Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 11, where we see this scene where the people, they have come out of Babylonian captivity. Persia has brought them back. They are now laying the foundation of the temple, and in the midst of them laying the foundation of the temple, in the midst of all this affliction, they say the Lord God is merciful and his mercy endures forever. This is a key characteristic of God. That he is one who has sympathy, he is one who has compassion, and his compassion will endure forever. The Bible echoes this phrase that we just mentioned about 42 times in Scripture. And if you want to see the majority when it's said, go look at Psalm 136. They make a statement and they say, the mercy of God endures forever. Then they go again, they say, the mercy of God endures forever. And it repeats it over and over and over again. It's making a point to us, God is a merciful God. Join me in Micah chapter 7 for a moment. Micah chapter 7. This is in the days of the minor prophets. This is before they are exiled into Babylonian captivity. The Lord is pleading with his people, and he is telling them his character, and that he's saying a punishment is going to come. But what you have to understand is, if you repent, I'm willing to relent from this punishment. I'm willing to spare you if you will just do what is right. So not only is God a God who is a God of mercy, who keeps mercy, not only does his mercy endure forever, we see something so beautiful about God and mercy. Notice with me Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. The Bible reads, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Wow. His mercy endures forever, but his anger does not. He delights, he takes pleasure in mercy. Our God, he takes pleasure in showing mercy. It's not something that he forced himself to do. He wants to do it, and he seeks the opportunity to do it. We learn even more in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 24, that he works mercy, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth because he delights in it. The Bible's telling us something. We serve a merciful God who loves and delights and takes pleasure in mercy. He's a merciful God and a gracious God who is slow to anger, and he abounds in mercy, as we see in Psalm 103 and verse number 8. We see some New Testament descriptions of God's mercy as well. Join me in Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's important that we lay our eyes on these passages. We want to see who God is. It's so interesting that the Bible tells us that no man has ever seen God, but through the Scripture, we can see our God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. This is the New Testament's description of God, who is a merciful God. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." The Bible says that God is abundant in mercy. And we can think about people who are rich. We can think about men like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. They have these storehouses of wealth. But it says God has a storehouse of mercy. He is rich in his mercy. And he's not stingy with it either. We notice from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, that the Bible calls him the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the originator of mercy. It flows from him. This is who he is. Notice with me James chapter 5 and verse number 11. This is another powerful passage. James is talking about Job here and how what God demonstrated towards Job. We think of Job as that wise man, that righteous man who was suffering for no good reason, as it seemed from his perspective. But we see the conversations that were happening in the spiritual realm in Scripture. We understand what God was doing in this. And James chapter 5, verse number 11, he goes on to explain this. He says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Wow. We serve a God who is very pitiful, who is of tender mercy. We serve a God who is only seeking our good. And what we understand from the mercy of God, when we realize that, okay, he desires to do good towards men, we understand that our God would rather see a man saved than dead in his sins, brethren. That's what our God would rather see. We know from Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11 that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We know from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 that he is long-suffering because he wants all men to be saved. That's because of his mercy he desires that. He is not in the business of destroying men's lives for no reason. You see, our God is so merciful. Our God is so compassionate, it is so pitiful that it motivated him to action. We see that in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He sent his Son. That's what compassion is. That's what the mercy we're talking about is. It is looking at someone's condition saying, "It's so pitiful, it's so horrible, I can't help but improve the situation that they're in." That's the God that we serve. He looked at his creation and said, I've got to help my creation. I have to show them mercy. And we see God demonstrate mercy on several occasions in the Bible. Firstly, we see God's demonstration of mercy to specific people, to individuals. We know a man by the name of Lot, who according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he was a just man who dwelt in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his soul was vexed day by day as he lived amongst those ungodly people. But when we go back to Genesis chapter 19, God says, I'm showing you my mercy and delivering you. And he says, Lord, I recognize your mercy in delivering me from this punishment. God showed that man mercy as he delivered him from Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot recognized it. God looked at Lot's conditions. This man living in this place, I've got to get him out of here. I've got to show him mercy. That's what the Bible demonstrates that to be. We see an individual like Joseph in the book of Genesis as well. Joseph received no mercy from his brothers. The Bible records this in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21, where his brother is saying, did not this man plead with us when he threw him in that pit not to sell him, but we didn't heed his warning. We showed him no mercy. But as Joseph was in that prison, the Bible says, God showed him mercy. And he increased in favor with those people. God is a merciful God. We even see God demonstrate his mercy to an entire nation when he delivers the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. It says that he does it with his mighty hand. But the Bible also records in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 13, that it is according to his mercy that he did that. He saw the affliction of his people. He heard their cry. He says, I've got to get them out of this place and bring them to the promised land. We serve a merciful God. We see God's demonstration of mercy to all of mankind. We notice that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, that while we were dead in our sins, through his mercy, through his love, he made us alive again. Notice with me 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, though, for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Things that God does according to his mercy. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of his abundant mercy, he was motivated to do something. Do we see here that mercy is more than just not giving someone what they deserve? Do we see this picture that the Bible demonstrates that mercy is As one movie that I like to watch, as robots would put it, when you see a need, feel the need. Meet that need and feel the need to do what is required in that situation. This is what we see with mercy. We know from Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 that we are saved not according to our good works, but by the mercy of God. We are renewed by the Holy Ghost. By God's mercy, these things take place. And the greatest display of God's mercy towards all mankind in salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ. A, because according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3, he is the exact imprint of the character of his Father. The exact imprint. And so we see what he did when he died on behalf of all mankind. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 4, we see his mercy. But Jesus was showing mercy as he walked about on this earth, you see. Because as he was walking about on this earth, as he was showing mercy, we see the blind and the lame, when they heard that Jesus was in the town, they cried out, they said, Son of David, have mercy on us, and he healed them. Man, the mercy of Jesus Christ. But notice with me Hebrews chapter 2 to solidify this point. We also know God's mercy in the new covenant. As we see in Hebrews chapter 8, and verse number 12, that he said, I'm going to be merciful to their righteousness, and I will remember their sins no more. That's the benefit of the new covenant. But when we consider the person of Jesus Christ being that demonstration of mercy, not only when he came was he the demonstration of mercy, now in heaven he is demonstrating mercy as well. Notice in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be, watch it, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Do you see that? We have a merciful high priest who is able to aid us in our temptation because he overcame temptation. Wow. We can't emphasize importance in the Scripture. We see God's character of mercy. We see God's demonstration of His mercy through these things that we looked at. We can know without beyond a shadow of a doubt we serve a merciful God who not only withholds punishment to those who repent, but is willing to see man in his condition and improve it. When it comes to man, the first thing we have to realize is that God has a desire for man to have mercy. Let us notice some Old Testament passages again for this. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah for a moment. Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. Let's go to chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. This is a post-exilic prophet, and he is recalling some events that took place that caused them to go into captivity. And God not only had an issue with them engaging in idolatry. This wasn't the only thing that was happening when God sent them. When they engaged in idolatry, they left God completely. Their morals went down when they did this. Notice with me Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." You see what God is calling for his people to do here? He's saying, I'm not only going to treat you right, you need to have the ability to treat one another right and have my characteristic of mercy and compassion toward one another, not devising evil towards each other, but devising good. And he goes on to finish out that chapter and saying, they did not hearken to this, so God scattered them across the world. They weren't modeled after their God. But this isn't the only time God expresses this desire for mercy. Notice with me Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. We're going to notice verse number 8. And verses, actually don't, we'll just read verses 6, 7, and 8. We'll get the picture that the Bible is painting here. The people have an accusation against the God of heaven. Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 6. He says, "Wherewith shall I come before thee, Lord, and bow myself before thee, before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" The people are saying here, Lord, is it possible to please you? I mean, we've been given burnt offerings for hundreds of years at this point, and you're still not satisfied. But God says, it's not the burnt offerings that I desire. That's necessary because of your sin. What I desire from you is in verse number 8. He says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." He says, this is the point. This is 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 22. To obey God is better than the sacrifices. I don't want your offerings. I want your obedience. I want your faithfulness. I want you to show mercy. I hope we realize everything we do outside the assembly affects if our worship is acceptable in the assembly. I hope we realize that, because the Bible makes that evident. That if we're not going to obey him out there, there's no point in trying to obey him in here. None. These offerings aren't going any higher than the ceiling if we do not obey God in every aspect of our life. And that's what God was making clear to these people. And he makes it even more clear in the book of Hosea. Notice with me Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 6. The Bible reads, For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This solidifies that point we just made even more. God said, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Okay, you don't worship with instrumental music, but do you treat your brother like you're supposed to treat him? Oh, okay, you observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, but is there any form of forgiveness towards your brother when they do you wrong? We have to think about what we are holding as the weightier matters of the law. And Jesus would quote this verse on several occasions in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 13. He says, you need to go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not... You missed the point, Pharisees. You memorized the law, but you missed me. You missed Jesus. You memorized the law, but you missed God. Let's make sure we're seeing who God is when we study the Scripture. He tells them again in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 7, as he is going through the grains, he says, you need to go study this again, because if you understood that point, you would not have condemned the guiltless. If you understood, God desired mercy more than sacrifice. God has a strong desire for man to show mercy. Strong desire for us to implement that characteristic that he has. In fact, it is a condition for his mercy. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7, that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And so what that means is, not blessed are the unmerciful, because they shall not receive mercy. And we don't just have to make that assumption. We don't have to think that, well maybe he inferred that improperly. No, the Bible says this explicitly. Turn with me to James chapter 2 for a moment. We need to see this passage. We need to see this passage. James chapter 2 and verse number 13. We noticed in some of the Old Testament passages that we read and that God keepeth covenant and mercy towards those that love him. You see, we need to put ourselves in a position where we can appeal to the mercy of God like the psalmist did. That's a great thing for us to do, but we have to put ourselves in a position where we can do that. And we talked about some of that in Bible class, where we're going to expound on that idea even more. James 2 and verse number 13. For he shall have judgment, this is God, without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Literally, God will be merciless towards those who have not mercy. We serve a merciful God, but make no mistake, our God is a God of kindness and a God of severity as well. Truly, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if we are not willing to walk in his footsteps. He made the appeals of people to repent, but when they did not, when Babylon came, there was no mercy. From the hoary head to the newborn babe, there was no mercy shown on those people. We serve a God of mercy and a God of severity as well. God has a desire for man to have mercy and a desire for him to put himself where he can receive mercy. When we consider another need that man has for mercy, there is a need for man to show mercy and to receive mercy from one another. You see, God desires us to show mercy to one another. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows or the orphans in their affliction. Literally to go and relieve them in their need. We have a need to do that. That's mercy. That's seeing someone in their need and relieving them of it. We mentioned in Bible class that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, that if we do not forgive others, we can be sure that we will not receive forgiveness ourselves. If we want to receive mercy from God, we have to show mercy toward one another. If we want to receive forgiveness, we have to be willing to forgive one another. God has a desire for us to show mercy to one another. And we have a necessity to show that mercy toward one another as well. And he gives us a great example of this with the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse number 23 and following, where we see this account, this parable that Jesus gives of a man who was forgiven of much. He was forgiven of so much. That's you and I. We've been forgiven of all our sins. But his brother who is in debt to him, he goes and he shows him no mercy. And God came back and he was merciless towards that man. What if when we did wrong to one another, instead of thinking how we could get back, we thought, how can I demonstrate mercy in this case? What if instead of biting and devouring one another as we go through our contentions, we said, well, hold up, how can we show mercy toward one another? I mean, there's a reason the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, that we have to bind mercy around our neck. It ought to be right here. It ought to be on the forefront of our minds. There's a reason he would go on to say that we can honor our Maker by having mercy on the poor in Proverbs 14 and verse number 31. Proverbs 19 and verse number 11 is so powerful. It teaches us that through wisdom we can be slow to anger and we can have glory by passing over a transgression. I wish in so many cases we would not only appeal to the mercy of God, but we would seek to appeal to the mercy of one another so as not to destroy but to build up the body, to do what God would have us to do. We not only need to show mercy, but we have to realize we need mercy from one another because we do each other wrong sometimes, whether it be intentional or unintentional, but we do each other wrong, and we need one another to be able to forgive us, to be able to show mercy. Of course, we understand from Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, that we must first be willing to repent, to acknowledge that we have done wrong so we can seek reconciliation, so we can seek mercy. And we need merciful compassion when we see each other in need, as we see in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, that when we see someone who is in need, how can the love of God dwell in us if we don't give them what they need if we have it? We not only need to show mercy when we do each other wrong, but when hard times come on one another. And we do a good job of that here. We got the meal trains. We got the cart. We got all these things. Let's keep on doing these things. Let's keep on facilitating that, showing each other mercy when the trials of this life come upon us. We have a need for mercy to demonstrate it and a need to receive mercy as well from one another. As we bring this lesson to a close, we have examined God's character of mercy. His mercy that is everlasting, that endures forever. The fact that he is slow to anger, that he is rich in mercy. We examine God's demonstration of mercy, that even on individuals, he was able to specifically demonstrate mercy in their situation and to all of mankind. He demonstrated mercy. And I believe the God of heaven is the exact same way today. If only we ask, Lord, have mercy on me. We saw the connection between man and mercy, that the God of heaven has a strong desire for man to show mercy. It is a weightier matter of the law. It is the thing that he desires more than sacrifice from us, is that we show mercy. And man has a need to not only show mercy, but to receive mercy from one another, especially so that we can receive mercy from God. And so what we understand from this is, going back to our scripture reading, we need to be merciful as our Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. We need to be full of compassion. If this isn't a character trait that is ours, we need to make it ours. We need to quickly make it ours because it is of the utmost importance that we do so. And it can be hard this day and age to allow situations to move us. Because if you keep up with the news at all or any form of information, I mean, you're constantly getting hit with tragedy and tragedy and tragedy. And sometimes just like, well, that's the way life is. And we don't even think twice about it. But we should have the ability to see that trial when the need of someone is right in front of our face. It should move us to our depths because that is how our God operates. And one more thing for us to understand when it comes to mercy. I intentionally did not touch on the Good Samaritan yet until this point. Because the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 11, what the man who asked the question is, he realizes, he says, the man who was a neighbor to the man who was in need, the Samaritan was a neighbor to the man in need because he showed him mercy. You know, there are probably many men and women and children who were devastated on the roads in the first century. The Bible demonstrates to us that there were many lepers in the days of Elisha, but only one was cleansed of his leprosy. There were many widows in the day of Elijah, but Elijah was sent to the house of one. Brethren, it's a matter of fact that we cannot help everybody. It's a matter of fact. But don't let this stop us from helping anybody. That Good Samaritan, he helped that one man, and he helped him all the way. When we have that opportunity, just go all the way. When we have an opportunity to show mercy, let's show it in the full force that the God of heaven does so. As we now offer the invitation, those of us who are non-Christians, we serve a merciful God. His desire is for you to be saved. His desire for you is to obey the gospel. His desire for you is to hear that wonderful gospel message, to hear his love, to hear his instruction, to hear his severity, and to be motivated to have belief in that and say, something needs to change in my life. And through belief in that, we can see from Scripture that a man needs to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. A man needs to repent from his sins. He needs to turn away from them. He needs to be converted. He needs to turn towards God. And in doing those things, that man, that woman can be immersed in water. They can be baptized into Christ, putting on Christ, having their sins washed away, raised to walk in newness of life. They can become a Christian. They can have life. So we implore you, if you need more study about that, talk with one of us. If you know what you need to do and you're ready to make the decision, we implore you to do that now. To the saints, let's just be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. If we have been merciful, let's be merciful. If we have been merciful, let's continue to be merciful and grow in that mercy. But if we have any need, won't you please come as we stand and as we sing.